Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I'm not going to call it a must-win tonight because I do think the Sixers could come back from a 2-0 hole, but it is a damn important game. And I think the Sixers will win it. I really do. Of course, saying that is bizarre when you don't even know what Joel Embiid's going to be able to sustain and how long he can sustain if he even starts the process of sustaining.
But what if he's better at sustaining because he's got a couple legitimate tough-fought games under his belt, you know, and that's what he needed to get back into real basketball shape. It feels as though that's the only thing that gets Joel Embiid into the proper shape is playing basketball.
I know.
But at least he's been doing that.
I know. I'll say this, though. You also don't want him – look, this series is going to go – I think this series is going to go long. But you also don't – if you're going to win, you also want to try to wrap it as quick as possible. Don't get me wrong. If a Knicks fan's listening, he's like, oh, that guy's an idiot in Philadelphia. He's talking about wrapping the series as quick as possible. Yeah. They're in a 1-0 hole. My point is, like, you know, come on. Let's get this thing cranked up. Now, Tobias Harris, enough. I am so sick of it. I'm so sick of Nick Nurse now continuing to go to him. He is a nice guy who's not good enough. Period. Well, end of story.
Especially because he's not here anymore.
Correct.
Like, it'd be one thing if there were 3 years left on the clock, like the Taiwan thing. It's like, all right, I guess you got to put him back in because there's so much time left and so much money. There's no reason to play this guy.
James, I agree, but I will say this one thing in Nick Nurse's defense. He doesn't trust the others. I mean, your options are freaking Hield, who's as one-dimensional as any player maybe of all time in Philadelphia sports. The guy does one thing, and that's it. He makes open three-pointers. That's all he does. It's all he does. And it gets you a loose ball. It doesn't get you a rebound. Doesn't get, I mean, a little bit more assists than I expected. I'll say that.
Tobias played the most minutes of any Sixer in the fourth quarter. Do you think that's merited over Nico, Campaign?
No.
Buddy. Like, but with the defense.
John.
Thinking about the defense. Remember how important it is to contain Brunson in this series. Like, that's point number one. We did a great job of that. Tobias did factor in to playing defense on Brunson. Like, he's part of that rotation. So,
you know what really
nice job
you know,
on that part.
You know what struck me? Really struck me. Did you guys catch the stat ESPN flashed up that Brunson was second this year in charges taken, which were, I think it was like 39 charges taken in 1 year? Tobias Harris in 5.5 seasons with the Sixers doesn't have one. I'm not making this up. Ben, in 5.5 years, Tobias Harris has taken zero charges.
Wow.
In 1 year, Jalen Brunson took 39.
Hey, so who's our guy? Who's our guy, Brunson? Who's our Brunson-y guy? It's Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry
is the mindset. He is the mindset that you are praying rubs off on Joel. That guy is bringing it, and he has been better than what I expected.
He has been.
Kyle Lowry is 38 years old?
Well, I'm looking at him and saying, why did he get rid of him?
What's that?
Why did he get rid of him?
I don't know. He's going to be so valuable. I mean, mindset alone, but the guy can actually get it done physically still. I don't know how he's doing it.
Well, let's go to the phones because there's a lot to discuss. I'll just say this. While there were discouraging elements in game one, clearly, most notably another Joel knee thing, limited lift in the fourth quarter, and obviously ultimately a loss, I actually, oddly, came away more encouraged. Because I think there's three Knicks guys in particular played way the hell above their head. A couple of those bench guys, they're not going to play that
Deuce
well.
Deuce McBride.
Well, that guy was the main guy.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
It's
so
crazy.
I think the Sixers are going to win tonight, but I will say this. I mean, we knew it going in, and we still know it. So goes Joel, so goes this series. He was good enough in game one to get you close enough, but he wasn't good enough to win. Because when you needed buckets in the fourth quarter, he couldn't provide them. He just couldn't. Let's go to the – or didn't, whatever way you want to put it. 215-592-9494. We'll do a lot this segment on the draft as well. Mel Kiper, mock draft, that's up ahead shortly. Tom in Dover right now. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom.
Hey, Joe, what's up, man? Ain't no text message been coming through or nothing. What's been going on?
Everything is good.
Joe's ghosting you, Tom?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he do that
what
from time to time.
What in
that's
the
all
world?
Right, that's all right. I get it. He's so, texting out of the clear blue.
Can you explain yourself, please, Joe?
I don't know what
ghosting
to say.
Tom?
I don't.
How rude.
Wow, you're really stammering here.
I don't know what to say here, Tommy.
I'll get
back to it.
Very busy.
Whatever. Listen, I only called in today, man, because we got John, you know you my man. I say it all the time, but we got to stop it with the Sixers stuff, man. They Sixers can't win, man. Real.
They actually can win.
No, they can't. First of all, the supporting cast ain't all that good neither. You know, you just got done talking about the guard that we run in. What's his name?
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. You just got done talking about Buddy Hield. Come on, man. Everybody don't show up, man. If everybody don't show up, you can't win. In the playoffs, man, you need people to step up, man. Hart and
all
them guys showed up.
I know, but McBride's not going to do that again. I mean, come on.
McBride's been playing good all season.
And Josh Hart's not going to make – and I love Josh Hart. He's not going to make three three-pointers in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Brunson's not going to have 22 points again.
I understand.
Listen to this, man. Brunson.
But we can have a plan to slow down Brunson.
Listen, we need the guy. We need the big guy. I hate to – you know, I'm a Chuck from Mount Airy fan. And Chuck's right, man. The boy and B don't have no heart, man. You got to go out there and play with some heart, man. You know, if the doctors and everybody say the knee is fine, come on, man, let's start in play.
All right, Tom, give me an answer for a Jack for a $100 gift card. What do you got?
Hey, you would have been cracking up, Joe, because me and Jimmy was going back and forth. I was saying I thought it was Nicholas. I thought y'all was talking about Nicholas,
nope.
So I was going to say Nicholson.
No. Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying Jack Nicholas, the golfer. What are you talking about?
That's a big-time answer right there. Jack Nicholas, obviously.
Golden Bear.
That is exactly correct. Certainly could be a winning answer here today. 215-592-9494. By the way, congratulations if you missed it over the weekend. Congrats to WIP's own Glenn Macnow on obviously a spectacular career. The career is not over, but the broadcasting career is near over, as on Saturday Glenn announced in 3 months he will retire from broadcasting. So Glenn, who it's been, I believe the number is 31 years. Yep. 3 more months for Glenn. Tremendous career here on WIP. And he will retire. Final show July 13th. So great. You know, look, we'll have Glenn on as we get closer to that point. Obviously, we'll get him on the morning show. But these final 3 months, certainly enjoy the weekend show while you get the chance. 3 more months of Glenn. All right, coming up here in 1 minute. 1 minute's time. Mel Kiper. And the mock draft and who he's got the Eagles take. And we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. By the way, we got a draft in 3 days. That's up ahead in 1 minute. Hey, isn't it time to invest in yourself? I certainly say it is. So start at PI Dental Center with decades of experience in complex dental treatment. You know, I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Let me translate this for you, make it all real simple. If you got a big old problem with your teeth, maybe it goes back to being a kid, something you've always wanted to get resolved and never did. Or more recently, you got banged up, an accident, a fall, whatever it might be. Know that PI Dental Center, they can fix you. You got to get yourself there, though, to get it done. Get there. Fort Washington's PI Dental Center. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, we have with us now a new Mel Kiper, and in this case, also Field Yates mock draft. As Field Yates and Kiper have put together actually multiple rounds of a mock draft. So back and forth they go. First pick, just for point of reference here, went to Mel. And as a result, the second pick then went to Field Yates and on down the line. So it's Field Yates at pick 22 that actually makes the selection for the Eagles. Now, before we tell you who Field Yates specifically picks for the Eagles at 22, let's kind of build up to it and give you some of the notable names that we've talked about as it relates to this draft from an Eagle standpoint and when they come off the board, if they come off the board prior to the Eagles. So, John, some of the offensive tackles, and we've talked a ton about these guys, Troy Fitano, the Washington offensive tackle who can also play guard, I'll call it they. I mean, it's the combination of the two, you know, Field Yates and Mel Kiper. They have him going 10. So that's way before the Eagles. Your guy, John, that you love, J.C. Latham, the tackle from Bama, they have him going 11th. Really nowhere near the Eagles. Now, could he fall further? Sure. But that would be a big jump for the Eagles if they wanted to get up there. The Penn State.
But you've got clusters of positions in this draft. I've seen mocks that you see these guys go all over the place, and you could see a run on offensive tackles. Yeah. Boom.
I'm not seeing Latham too near the Eagles, though.
Edge guys. Boom. What's that?
I'm not seeing Latham near the Eagles much. There's a reason you like him a lot. He's considered better than most of these.
You're
others.
Right. I think that he has certainly risen. Where once he was in the 20s, now he's sort of more.
James,
like
you know what Richie is?
Guy.
He's the guy in 2003. He wanted the Sixers to draft LeBron.
Oh yeah,
yeah, let's go get that guy. Yeah, I like. You know what? I like him the best. Let's go get LeBron James. I hear you. We'll see. Okay, we'll see how far up they go if they do. All right, pick.
You can trade up.
You can pick 14 is
how
where
he has traded up.
He
seems
has
like every year.
Pick 14 is where Fasanu goes, the offensive tackle from Penn State. Again, that's pretty far in front of the Eagles. 15 is where Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, goes.
Man, I really like him. Just watching a little bit more of the way that he plays.
Yep.
He's like a cornerback who is so well. Oh, those Alabama guys, you know that they know what they're doing. And he's a guy who's versatile in, you know, scheme fit in terms of he can do anything you ask. Meaning if he's a cornerback, if he can line up and just man you up, you know he can do zone stuff too, most likely. He can be taught to do what you're asking him to do in zone. And he actually has a great feel for zone also because Alabama, they teach it well. That Arnold kid, man, if he falls, it's so unlikely that he would ever fall anywhere close to us. But
which
with
is why
Howie's
we, which is why we talk about Nate
trading up.
That's right.
This is a guy who's certainly in reach. I really like him a lot, just like I really like J.C. Latham a lot. This Terrion Arnold, man, even the personality, just seeing some of the interviews with him through the process, that guy is going to be a really good pro football player.
Well, again, in this draft, Terrion Arnold at 15, that's seven picks in front of the Eagles. 18 is where Fruaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State, goes. Mm. Now we're getting closer to the Eagles. So here's what we got.
At least Fruaga, he was a lot higher early. So it sounds like, you know, Latham, as he's coming up, rising – Fuaga is dropping in draft.
All right, pick 22, Eagles. In this mock draft, they don't have the Eagles making a trade. And at pick 22, and it's Field Yates' pick, he's got the Birds taking Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Now, notable that Nate Wiggins in this mock is on the board. They don't take him. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, on the board. They don't take him. And Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa, on the board. They don't take him. They go with Mims. Here's the write-up on Mims. They write, Lane Johnson, turning 34, so Philly might be motivated to add depth at the position, something it did in advance of Jason Kelsey's retirement, too. Mims has 803 career snaps under his belt, but exhibits all, which I believe the implication is not that's not that many, but exhibits.
He's only started 8 college games.
Yeah, exactly. But exhibits all-world physical tools. And learning from legendary coach Jeff Stoutland would be great for him. John, if on Friday morning of this week we are reacting to an Eagles first-round draft pick of Amarius Mims, what will be your reaction?
Joy. I love.
Really?
Yeah. I this guy is so gigantic and incredibly talented. And I've got all those measurables that you're looking for in an offensive tackle. I mean, he's 6'8", 340 pounds. I know that you don't care about the arm length.
Is he
and the
too?
Hands
is he too
stuff.
Big to play guard?
He can't
guard?
Play guard. He cannot play guard
because of that size.
Yeah, he can't play guard.
So now
he's not a guy that I would peg as a guard.
I mean, that's a first round stash.
Yeah.
And that might be a 2-year stash.
Yeah, don't love that.
Right, James? I mean, that could be a 2-year stash.
It's the only if they go offensive lineman, fine. I can't have them take a guy who's not going to play for 2 years in the first round. I can't do it.
I agree with you, James. I can't do it either. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones. A lot on the 76ers. You want to react to this mock draft? Again, that's a tackle that, you know, barring injury, might not get in there for a couple of years. Dennis in Springfield. Dennis, good morning, buddy.
Yo, good morning, gang. Before I get to my points, I just want a starter out of this draft. Can we get a guy that's going to play 60% or more of the snaps? Well, you know, preferably on defense. My goodness, I don't need a stash.
I agree.
All right, now
torn on that. I'm really torn on that, Dennis. I like the idea of having a functional guy who can come in, we can cheer for right away. But I know that these players aren't expecting the young, you know, draft picks to come in and play. You know, the veteran players expect that these draft picks are guys who are going to come in and learn.
Well, I mean, would you rather have Kyle Hamilton at 90 snaps or Antone Davis at 40% of the snaps? That's what it comes down to.
Oh, boy. All right, keep going. Go ahead.
All right, before my Sixers point, and this is the reason I called. I heard you mention Joe Pellegrino.
Yeah.
This is how long I've been listening to your station. I won a trip for two to Jamaica on the Joe Pellegrino show.
Wow, that's great.
And the funny thing, I'm not even sure if I had a cell phone back then or if they had cell phones back then. I was at work, and we had the radio on at work, and people were coming, you know, other employers are saying, they just said your name on the radio. You got like 3 minutes to call. And I quick had a call in, and I won the trip for two to Jamaica.
That's tremendous, wow, man. That's good work.
And I think he either followed or Pat Croce's show followed him, one or the other. I forget what the order was.
Yeah,
Pat Croce had
go ahead.
No, sorry. Pat Croce had like a health and fitness question and answer show.
Yep.
On right around the same time. But yeah, that's a long time. And as far as my Sixers point go, I mean, you know, when the Knicks take a 3-point shot, can we, like, have a guy run to that guy so he doesn't get the long rebound?
Well, Dennis,
is there something we can do to cut the rebounding
Dennis,
down?
One thing that is entirely obvious, and Nick Nurse has got to make a point of emphasis, box out. Put your freaking butt and your back on the other guy and make sure that he does not have an inside track to go get the freaking rebound. I mean, box out. I can't believe we're going back to the basics of like freaking fifth grade, but that's what we're at. I mean, if the Sixers had rebounded on Saturday, they probably would have won the game.
I mean, the second chance points
disgusting.
Is what killed
them. Yeah, infuriating.
Disgusting.
And I do. Look, I think part of Joel needs to be better. Joel needs to get his mindset better. Joel's attitude is going to rub off to everyone else who's a Sixer. And if Joel's feeling off a little bit, I do think that translates to the way other guys play.
Yep.
He needs to be up and ready and excited and feeling great.
But, John, it's not who he is.
Think about the difference between the first quarter in that game and then after, you know, when he went down, the despondence.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that second quarter was – how many points did we score? It was atrocious.
It was horrible.
The mindset matters, and Joel needs to fix his if we're going to have a chance.
Is.
I get it. He needs to fix it anyway.
I think
it's not who he is. He can still fix his mindset.
Yeah, I think you might need to fix your mindset.
He can be better in terms of mental toughness, like get out there and do
in a brief
spurt, but he probably won't.
But he probably won't. Yeah. Not consistently enough. He's got to win 16 of these games to win the championship, and it's unlikely with how inconsistent his mind
right
is.
Dennis,
give me an answer for a great Jack.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys yourselves named him or not, because I turned on a few minutes later. I'm going to go with Jack the Ripper.
Has already been said. Give me a different one.
Okay. Let's go with the Billy Joel song, Captain Jack.
You got it, my man.
Nice one.
Dennis, appreciate the call. Let's listen to Nick Nurse, because he was asked yesterday. So this is the day after game one. He was asked about Joel and the knee. Let's listen to what Nick Nurse said.
How's Joel's leg doing today?
Pretty good, I think. I mean, I asked him how he was feeling. He said, pretty good.
All right, so a relatively favorable answer, but with limited information. But you get pretty good.
Pretty good. No, pretty good. I think.
I know. I know.
I think.
I know. Yes. No, I hear you, Ben. More on Joel, because the physicality, there was also an eye issue, which I didn't even catch during the game. But here's Nick Nurse talking about Joel's eye.
We all talk about the knee, but he also took a pretty good shot in the eye. He kept in the game, stayed in the game, excuse me, but he kept, like, touching his eye. Last night we go in the locker room, he has sunglasses on. Same thing today, leaving here. I mean, how is his eye? Did he fracture it or anything again? Because that's the same. No. He's fine?
Yep.
You know, the Joel thing, man. I fluctuate all the time between am I ripping him, am I not ripping him? Do I feel bad for him? Is it own fault? Here's what I know, and I looked it up this weekend because I wanted to see if I was on the right track, because Greek tragedy came to mind for me. Like the whole
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joel thing feels like a Greek tragedy. And I thought, let me look up the definition of a Greek tragedy. And boy, it does feel pretty on point here. So here's what the definition of a Greek tragedy is. A play in which the protagonist, that would be Joel, a play in which the protagonist, usually a person of importance and outstanding personal qualities, falls to disaster through the combination of personal failing and circumstances with which he or she cannot deal.
Well, that's on point.
Correct. All of it.
Like, we are saying, guys, this is like 2,500 years after the heyday of ancient Greece. We are seeing in front of our eyes a Greek tragedy. Now, the reality is I still think the Sixers can overcome it. Doesn't mean they will, but I think they can. I was largely encouraged about this game because I think a lot of Knicks players played over their head. And I think the Sixers can play better. But I'll say this, man. New York hustles, I was going to use a dirty word.
And they're deeper, man. Yeah. Like, they just get more deeper. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, they might not get McBride with 21 points or whatever. But, like, guys step up on that team. And this Sixers team throughout the years, we've yet to have those guys, other than Batum the other night, guys like that step up.
And the thing about, like, a guy like Josh Hart, 6'5", having whatever they said, 35 games or something with 10 rebounds at 6'5", like, that's unbelievable. So, you know, the Sixers got to dig down. You know the guys that are going to dig down. And then you know the guys you generally don't believe will dig down. I mean, you don't believe in Tobias to dig down. You don't believe in Buddy Hield to dig down. I do think they got to just work Batum like a dog. I really do. I just like, dude, I need you to play 42 minutes. That's it. That's the rules. You got to play 42 minutes because I don't trust these other guys. And I'm not even saying Batum's that great. He used to be very good. I got to treat him the way I treat Lowry. Like, I'm going to work you till you die.
I love Batum and Lowry. Yeah, but they are up there. They are both advanced.
I know.
But I do believe Kyle Lowry, you can leave him out there all game. Like, you don't have to pull him off the court. He's going to figure out a way to tough it out.
We're two games into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's 38.
Yeah, that could be hard to sustain. Let's get to Eric right now in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Eric?
I'm not that, you know, concerned or upset about the game one loss. I thought, you know, we played generally pretty well. And even if we lose tonight, you know, it's not the end of the world. But what I took away was, I don't know if you guys caught this, in the second half, Joel just had no lift at
correct.
All.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
He was putting no effort into rebounding. He was standing there watching Tobias or whoever, Oubre, you know, like he wasn't even trying to get rebounds. And that's really concerning for me going forward.
I agree entirely. I mean, Eric, it could be one of two things. He could be truly hurting, or he could be not trusting his knee.
I don't know which it is. I'm hoping beyond hope that most of this is trust. Yes, I think it was probably a little sore. It felt different. I think he felt sore. His body, because he has not played basketball, and now all of a sudden you're getting back. He's probably feeling soreness in other places that he wasn't anticipating, he wasn't expecting. Joel, he needs to push through. I believe he can. It's just going to take, like, it's up to him. It's up to him to do this, to flip that switch. The mindset needs to be Joel's choice to be tougher, you know, to refuse to go out there and show weakness.
The problem is he's not Jimmy Butler.
I know.
He's just not.
John, with all due respect, what makes you think he can? We've never seen it happen before.
Yeah.
He's never done it before. I hope he can.
Yeah. Because
he is freaking good.
I think he wants to win. I think if he can determine, if guys like Kyle Lowry can continue to set this example and he sees other guys doing it, it's possible.
Can I mean, get,
I want to lose 15 pounds, yeah. But I'm not going to do it unless I go on a freaking diet.
Yeah, you've got to do it yourself. You're right.
Exactly.
You have to have the discipline yourself.
And, John, I'll
he
add.
He has to have the toughness himself.
I'll add on to what Ben's saying. When Todd Pinkston was on the Eagles, I wanted Todd Pinkston to go across the middle the way Terrell Owens did.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Like, you just, a lot of these guys are wired the way they're wired. Eric, give me a great answer. For the $100 gift card, give me a notable Jack.
Yeah, it's baseball season, so how about Cracker Jack?
Cracker Jack. All right, Ben, you were looking for something.
Ben just stuck his fist in the air expecting something.
I was looking for something else.
You can say it.
I think I know what Ben was expecting.
I'm not going to say.
Michael Jack?
Yep.
That's what he was expecting. I mean, you're unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
Definitely had, I think, two callers on hold with that answer, too.
Let me tell you something about me being unbelievable.
Yes.
I've known that my whole life. You see, you think this is breaking news that I'm unbelievable?
I have another word in mind, and it could win the contest.
I think there's multiple adjectives.
215-592-9494. Let's get to that report that Lisa Salters had during the game on Joel, because what Lisa Salters said was very notable in light of everything we were seeing out there. After Joel had gotten hurt, I honestly can't remember if this is before or after he came back. I think it's after he came back into the game. Here's Lisa Salters on ESPN talking about what Joel Embiid had previously told her. This was something.
I wanted to share something that Joel said to me on Wednesday before that game with the Heat. He told me that he was still trying to get back to trusting his surgically repaired left knee, that he was freaked out when he tweaked it 8 days ago against Orlando. Said he's got to realize that when something like that happens, and it will, like it did tonight, that he's going to feel something in the knee. And he says it's okay, the knee is fine, but he said he's still convincing himself that he can fully trust himself on the floor, and that's where the mental part of it comes in.
All right, so here's what I'll say about that report as it relates to the fourth quarter in particular of the game. So one of two things happened when Joel got hurt. I don't know which it was. When I say hurt, when he fell, okay, the other day. He either, like, got more re-injured or he just got scared. I mean, of course, if he got more re-injured, he also got scared. But he either got re-injured to an extent or he got really freaked out. If he was really freaked out, which is what the Lisa Salters report indicates happens to him sometimes. We don't know that it applied to that one time. But if he just got scared, I need him over the span of the next hour to get it the hell together. Because he kept coming short on his jump shots in the second half, fourth quarter in particular, and they just ran out of time in that game. And now you're getting close to running out of time in the season. Look, I think the Sixers are going to win tonight. I'm all over the place today, all right? I'm all over the place. I'm frustrated with Joel. I appreciate that he's trying to give this a shot. I mean, James, I don't know about you. At halftime, okay, now again, this is my rewatch, if you will, because I was at the freaking Phillies game Saturday live during this. Okay, I wonder when I went back and watched it, should he even be playing in the playoffs after what I saw in the first half?
Yeah, I think we all were.
And Stephen A. Smith flat out put out there, like, I don't know if Sixers should be playing
Joel
Embiid.
He said it. He said it. Yeah, I know. I think we all had the same thought, and we all thought, all right, is that it? Like, whatever the injury is, are they just going to be like, and I even saw a headline after the game where it was Sixers don't plan to shut Joel Embiid down.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, man. But that is the question that comes to mind when something like that happens.
And we're not in the knee. We're not the doctor. We don't really know exactly what's going on, but there's a lot swirling through my mind. Look, here's what I do know for sure. Said it last week. I'll say it again. So goes Joel. So goes the series. If he does his job the way he's capable of, when he's capable, the Sixers will win the series. If he can't answer the bell or answer it enough, they'll lose the series. That's it. That's it. This segment right now brought to us by Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tom. He's calling from Middletown. Good morning, Tom. Tommy.
Hey, I'm here. Hold on. Let me take you off speaker.
All right, Tom. Talk to us, my man. What do you got here today?
Good morning, Rhea. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hola.
Okay, now. I want to start this real quick with the Phillies. I want to thank the baseball gods for scheduling us Colorado and the White Sox back to back.
You're not kidding.
You got right.
At a perfect timing when our bats were slumping, our run production was down. Now we got the bats going, run production up, confidence up. And real quick, watching that series, I watched every game. Watching the White Sox series, there was times I felt like I was watching the movie Major League.
Well, yeah, you mean
the early part. Yeah,
first half.
I mean, not the series, the movie, the movie Major League.
I know
what you mean. I mean, that team is sad. Gosh.
They're horrendous.
Yeah, they're not in a good way.
I mean, Tom, I don't know how often it happens. We could look it up. To have a chance for no hitters in back-to-back games and actually have them both go into the seventh inning, I mean, I got to imagine that's one in less than like 1,000, one in less than 10,000. No, maybe not 10, but I mean, that's rare.
Well, they're the first team to ever get shut out 8 times in their first 21 games. So that level of futility has been on display.
Going into yesterday's game, their average batting average was 190.
Yeah, 190.
Mm. 190.
They're on pace to break the run differential for worst run. Right now, they're minus like 60-something.
Yeah.
They're on pace to break it. Since 1900, the record, the 1932 Red Sox, they're on pace to break it by 125 runs right now.
And we did something though this weekend. The only negative, I don't think Chicago will do this again this year. Score 5 runs in 1 inning.
Well, yeah, perfect timing for it.
But
if you're going to do it,
Tom, you had a 9-0 lead. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it was garbage time. And then, real quick before my Jack, the frustration with Joel, double frustration for me. Sixers lose the game. And I had Joel's point total over, and it was 29.5. He ends up with 29 after missing all those buckets at the end of the game.
And you were off to such a good start. How much did you lose, Tom?
Well, I had him parlay with Maxie. Maxie blew his over away, but a little bit. I dabble lightly.
What if Tom had said my house?
There you go. All right, Tom, give me a great Jack. What do you got?
All right, this Jack could be a number of people, and one that comes to mind is Ben Simmons. Hit the road, Jack.
Okay, you got it, man. Hit the road, Jack. It's a good answer right there. You know, I heard, speaking of Maxie, who was just referenced, I heard a national person say this weekend. I had never thought of it before. I think he might be right. He said that Tyrese Maxie is the best in the NBA as a guard to get to the basket. The best.
I don't know that I can argue. It doesn't feel like there's
he's
got to
be the fastest. Russell Westbrook can still get in there pretty good. I mean, he's flawed in a lot of ways, but when he goes into attack mode, he goes with both the speed and the force that Tyrese will never have the physicality. But I'll tell you what, Tyrese, I mean, it was incredible. Like, the Knicks were doing what they could to try to stop him, and he just slithers around them and edges past them, and it's something. I mean, he does have like an Iverson-like sort of speed thing going. I mean, and there's kind of nothing you can do. I mean, you're not going to double team the guy at the top of the key. I don't think you are. So, I don't know, man. He's really got a unique skill set there. And of course, with his shooting ability, it really helps, because then if they go, if they try to sag off him, he'll just nail 3.
Right. And so, he will.
He will nail it.
Conscienceless. That's the biggest difference this year in his game, that he's willing to just spot, you know, take that.
Well, he's really become a heck of a shooter. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. Twitter poll question, who wins tonight, Sixers or Knicks? You can certainly vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on WIP.
Good morning, gang. How is everybody?
Doing well, Mike.
Very good. So, as you guys know, I'm usually only about the Eagles. And today, I just need to opine as somebody who is completely unbiased and uninterested in basketball. But hearing you guys talk about Joel Embiid for the last few years, I want to bang my head against the wall. This guy is dead weight. Make him somebody else's problem. You guys need to get it through your head that what you see is what you get. John, I love you, buddy, but stop with the that you want him, you need him to do something, you need him to be something he's not. He is soft mentally with an aging, I mean, his body is aging at an accelerated rate to the rest of the population because of his, you know, massive size. He's only going to get worse. He's only going to create more heartache for you guys. He's got to go.
Well, I'll tell you
this,
Mike. I'm not ready yet to trade him. I know Rhea was there last year. I get it.
Yes.
There was probably 5 to 10 to 15% of people there last year. I wasn't there last year. I'm still not there now. I mean, I get that that day is likely coming at some point. But I also know, Mike, he is a guy that if you can ever withstand and be healthy, and I know it's the freaking biggest if of all time. Maybe he can't. Maybe he can't. He is one of the two or three best players in the world. He is. And I just would hate to turn my back. I'd rather fail for another year or two, giving it a shot, than say, let's go play the ping pong ball game in the lottery, and let's try to go get him in the year 2031 as a rebuilt team. I'm not prepared to do that. I'm just not.
What's it going to take? What is it going to take for you
two more failed times? This one, and maybe next year, and then maybe I'm ready to. That's where I'm at.
And then when it's time to trade him, what are you going to get? You're going to get a bag of rocks.
The guy
at least has maybe some value now. Cut bait, get something back for him, move on. This is just such a deterioration to this franchise. And again, I don't even care, but I'm just watching and listening to you guys. I'm like, guys, this is you're making yourself crazy over something that's never going to happen. When somebody tells you and shows you who they are, believe them. This guy is just broken. I'm sorry. He's got all-world talent, but he's never going to be what you think he can be. It's just not there.
Hey, listen, you might be right.
What if that light bulb just comes on and he
has
an unbelievable
on.
He's 30, man.
Practice, it's going to be about luck. It's not going to be about light bulb.
Practice where he comes down, goes up and dunks it, comes down, and it holds up, and it feels solid and strong, and he gains confidence, and then he does it again, gains more confidence. He, if he has his mind right, can lift us to the top of this league.
Well, they could win the championship.
Yeah.
They could, but
it's just what evidence do we have to believe that it will? Like, we have zero evidence to believe. Like, there's
zero.
No other than, like, hope. Oh, I hope he feels better. Like, there is no tangible evidence to say that it's going to happen.
No, that's right. Mike, give me an answer here for a great Jack.
Jackson 5.
Jack?
Wow.
What
do you say?
Jackson 5.
Oh, Jackson 5. Oh, that's a great answer.
Sort of like that.
Great. I like that a lot.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.